Gold prices have crashed. Gold prices have crashed. Since 2011, gold has plummeted more than 25%, and the worst may not yet be over. The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com warned its subscribers the gold bubble would pop, and it has. Our gold alert given to subscribers in early 2013 resulted in a 500% gain. What happens next in the gold market will shock the entire globe. Join today at ETFGuide.com and get a $50 bonus by using promo code SAVE50.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us. You're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Our Twitter handle at Index Show. Coming up on today's broadcast, the stock market has reached a permanently high plateau. We'll talk about that. Also coming up, gold. Will it head to $1,000 an ounce? Also, don't let low rates beat up your income strategy. That's still a mega investment theme. Interest rates are still at depressed levels. So we'll talk about some income strategies and what we're doing in order to overcome the interest rate environment and the shortage of income that faces so many retirees and investors, and it's still a ever-present problem and ever-present danger. Now, again, if you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, I'm game. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Also be sharing some tidbits with you from my just published December edition of the ETF Profit Strategy Newsletter. Want to share some tidbits with you from that. So we got a lot to get into. Again, we're here. Please join us. So let's talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average closing above 16,000 for the first time ever. We also see the S&P 500 pushing above 1,800. And closing above 1,800 for the week, it was up almost 0.5%. And we continue to see U.S. stocks make all-time highs, major benchmarks. Now, the only major stock index here in the U.S. not making all-time highs is the NASDAQ Composite, which is just shy of 4,000. You'll recall the peak for the NASDAQ was way back in the year 2000 when it topped just over 5,000. So the NASDAQ, still not at all-time highs, but we've got the Dow and the S&P in that area. So you take a look at some of the other areas. It really, and we do this every month in our monthly newsletter at etfguide.com, we do a global equity performance, what it's called a map. And we just map out the globe and take a look at how the various ETFs are, which track those areas or regions, are doing. And so far, out of the 13 major regions throughout the world, we've got 8 now in positive territory. We've got those areas being led by the U.S., the total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI, ahead by just over 29% since the beginning of 2013. And the other top performing area has been Japan. Ticker symbol EWJ is the iShares MSCI Japan ETF, ahead by just over 25%. Those two specific ETFs outperforming the global stock market. Some of the ones that are also holding up pretty good have been European stocks. Ticker symbol VGK, ahead by almost 20% since the beginning of the year. And then Asian stocks, ticker symbol VPL, that's the Vanguard Asia ETF, ahead by just over 19%. And so those areas pretty much leading the way globally. You do have some laggards, some of the countries and specific regions that are not performing well have been Latin America. ILF is the ticker symbol, down 10%. Brazil, ticker symbol EWZ, down just over 12%. And then India, ticker symbol INDY, down almost 11%. So some of these areas are pretty much lagging. And you'll notice very closely, and we've pointed this out before, that the countries that are leading the way in global stock market performance are the same places where continued monetary support by their banks, their central banks, like Bank of Japan and Federal Reserve, where these places, these institutions have been the most aggressive. And that has been favorable for these particular stock markets. So we're in the fourth quarter, and we've only got another a month to go before 2013 is in the history books, and we still have a favorable Q4 season. We talked on last week's show about fourth quarter magic. This has been historically, seasonally a very strong period of performance for the stock market. So that should keep stocks riding high for the rest of the year. Nevertheless, there are many, many red flags, and we're going to point some of them out on today's broadcast. If you'd like to join us, 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about U.S. stocks, the Dow and the S&P making all-time highs? Do you feel that this stock market that we're experiencing is in a bubble? What are your thoughts on that? Join us. So taking a look at industry sector performance, this will kind of give us a clue as to the broadness of the stock market's rally. Really, you've got nine industry sectors of the S&P 500, and every single one of them is up double digits. I mean, what is that telling you? You've got utilities, healthcare, technology, financials, energy, industrial stocks, even material stocks, which own some of those mining companies, which have been horrific performers. You still have XLB, that's materials, ahead by 21% since the beginning of the year. And then the two consumer sectors are performing outstandingly also. Consumer discretionary, XLY, ahead by almost 38%. And that particular ETF easily outperforming the S&P 500's 29% year-to-date performance. So you've got strong performance across the S&P sectors, and that kind of gives you an indication of really this has been a broad market rally. I mean, you don't really have any particular sectors that have been taking it on the chin. So the top-performing sector, we've talked about this pretty much all year long because of the fact that we give you weekly updates on it, is healthcare stocks. XLV ahead by now over 40%. Isn't that incredible? And the story there really is biotechs. Biotechs have been really star performers, and that's been driving that sector. Another story has been some of those healthcare providers or facilities, which will eventually, they haven't fully benefited, but eventually, as Obamacare takes hold, these companies, these healthcare facilities will benefit. And so that I think is also helping the healthcare sector to some extent. But 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Please join us. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. You can tweet the program live at Index Show. Coming up, we're going to talk about don't let low rates beat up your income strategy. We've got the 10-year yield on U.S. Treasuries at 2.75%. How long would it take you to double your money at that depressed interest rate? I'll tell you when we come back. This is the Index Investing Show. Again, 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Also want to mention, before we go to break, about the Federal Reserve and how it has outgobbled, it has out-eaten foreigners for U.S. debt. And the Fed and its impact on financial markets has been much greater than it would like to admit. And we're going to talk about, we're going to compare the Fed's treasury holdings to some of the largest holders, foreign holders of U.S. treasuries. So that coming up. And we're here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, 877-711-5611. 5611. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
All right, 877-711-5611. That is the number. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. We're going to get into some of your emails and some tweets. Stay tuned for that. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, you want to talk about the U.S. stock market breaking to all-time highs, is it froth? Is it a bubble? Is it the crash? Or is it the the peak before the crash? What are your thoughts on that? I'd like to hear from you. 877-711-5611. Really, the chorus of bullishness towards equities, as I see it, grows louder and bolder with each passing day. Market fundamentals are healthy. The economy is strong. Stocks are inexpensive. I mean, that's the sentiment du jour. And just like that, the public's fear of losing money has been replaced by the fear of missing out. Now, I apologize for bringing it up, but the sheer deadliness of today's prevailing psychology towards investing is probably very reminiscent of previous eras. After all, history does repeat itself, does it not? Or it at least rhymes. After a similar run-up in stock prices, the New York Times on October 22, 1929, proclaimed on its headline cover, "Fisher says the price of stocks are low." 2 days later, the U.S. stock market sank 11%, and by the end of November that year, that was 1929, the New York Stock Exchange lost 30% from its peak. Now, who was Fisher? Who was the guy that was on the front of the New York Times proclaiming that stock prices were low? Well, he was a respected economist at Yale University, Irving Fisher. He based his thesis on strong corporate earnings, a positive economic climate, and evidence of new investment in research and development. Now, those same arguments you could say that Fisher made for buying stocks at the peak are now being made today. What happened to people that plowed ahead into the market blindly back then? Well, anyone who bought stocks in mid-1929 and held on to them saw most of his or her adult life pass by before getting back to even. By the way, it was also Fisher who, right before stocks crashed, famously said that the stock market had finally reached a permanently high plateau. The question is, who will become our era's version of Irving Fisher? Who will it be? 877-711-5611 is the number. We've got the stock market. Again, the Dow, S&P 500 at all-time highs. We've got all nine industry sectors in positive territory, up double digits. And really, you know, as strong as this has been, as impressive as this rally has been, we still have some red flags. Two of them that we've highlighted in the just published December issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter are record inflows into stock mutual funds now at 13-year highs. You know, the investing public's market timing is absolutely notoriously bad. They've consistently, the public, buy at the wrong things at the wrong price and at the wrong moment. And right now, what are they doing? Well, they're piling into stock mutual funds at the most furious rate in 13 years. So don't say you haven't been warned. Stock funds have vacuumed in $172 billion during the first 10 months of this year. That's the most since the $272 billion in all of 2000. So although most of the money is being directed to international stock funds, we still have domestic equity investments at their highest level since 2004. How about rising margin debt? Well, margin debt's generally viewed as a measure of the investors' confidence because they're willing to borrow against their stock or equity investments. In September, and this is the latest information we've got available, this is from the New York Stock Exchange, investors borrowed a record $401 billion on margin, eclipsing April's record of $384 billion. Regrettably, rising margin debt is also associated with speculation. It's not just investor confidence. And this speculation, particularly when money is being reinvested in stocks, can become problematic. Excessive margin debt, for those of us that remember history, played a direct role in previous market peaks and subsequent crashes and crises. So this is what you need to be aware of. This is what's going on. These are some red flags. What do you think about this? 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Please join us. Let's go to beautiful San Jose, California. We've got James with us. Welcome to the Index Investing Show. Nice to have you with us, James.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I have two silver stocks, two ETFs. One is the global XLY, and the other is XLV. I'm down 50% on them.
Oh, wait, James. XLY and XLV, those are S&P sector ETFs. XLV, that's healthcare, and XLY is consumer discretionary.
Okay. Oh, geez. What did I do? Write down the wrong one? No. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry.
I think
SIL, Ron.
Okay, SIL. Okay, that one, and what's the other one?
And SLV, I think it is.
Okay, yes, those are silver.
Yes, they're the two silver ETFs, and I'm down 50%. And do I hang on to them, hoping they'll come around, or do I just bite the bullet and sell them?
Yeah, these are, you know, it's funny because everyone, when they talk about bearish bets on the market, usually they'll say, well, bears are getting killed this year. Well, one of the few areas where bears haven't gotten killed is shorting silver, shorting gold, shorting mining stocks. And that's exactly what you own here, James. These areas have absolutely been crushed. And
right.
And so now the question is, well, do you hang on waiting for an eventual rebound? Let me ask you this. What about liquidity? I mean, do you need the money? Can you?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't need the cash out. But yeah. Since I already lost 50% of my money, I mean, where do I bite the bullet and sell and just put it into something that may grow better? Or just hang on to these, hoping they will come around?
Well, I think after, first of all, we need to have a better discipline. We can't have you have 50% losses going forward. You got to have some stop losses. And generally with new ETF positions, generally with all new positions, we recommend to have at least a 7 to 10% stop loss. That means if it falls below that level, boom, you're out. So that you can prevent your losses from escalating into 50% losses like you have here. It's the fourth quarter. This is my best advice to you, James. Look at the rest of your portfolio. It maybe makes sense to take some losses, at least on one of them, realize those losses. If you have any gains in other parts of your portfolio, offset some of those gains with these losses and match them up so that you can have a situation that's tax favorable, because really at this point that's all you're looking at. You're trying to minimize your tax bill. Have you had gains in other parts of your portfolio?
Oh yeah, but the problem is this is in a IRA.
Ooh, okay.
Out.
Yeah, you're in an IRA. Okay, yeah. Well,
yeah, these are both in IRAs.
Well, I out of the two, and I got to let you go. Of the two, I would probably sell SLV first. Just because that's silver and it generates no income whatsoever. At least with the other one, SLJ, you know, you're going to get some dividends from some of those mining stocks. Thanks for joining us. Check back with us and let us know how it works out. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
You've heard them on the radio and seen them on TV. Gold experts promising big profits. The truth is, gold prices have crashed, and investment demand is down over 50%, according to the World Gold Council. While gold experts keep promising higher prices, the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com told its subscribers the gold bubble would pop. Our gold alert given to subscribers in early 2013 resulted in a 500% gain. Listening to gold experts would have lost you a boatload of money. Listening to ETFGuide.com would have helped you to profit. Stop listening to gold experts and stop following the crowd. Subscribe to the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com and make money. Our no-bull approach is world famous, and what happens next in the gold market will shock the entire globe. Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code SAVE50. We'll tell you what to buy, what to sell, and when to do it. Be ready for the next big move in gold only at ETFGuide.com.
(877-711-5611) is the number. We're here. Please join us. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. If there's a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF you want to talk about, game, just give us your first name along with your ticker symbol. You can also tweet the program live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. By the way, if you ever miss our regular weekly radio broadcast, you can pick up our podcast for free. You can listen at your leisure at any time on your mobile device. Just go to indexshow.com. And click on the podcast. You can also check us out at iTunes or at YouTube. Just search under the Index Investing Show. Now, we just got off a call with James in San Jose. He owns two ETFs that have just gotten crushed. Ticker symbol SLV, which is the iShares Silver Trust, and then SIL, which tracks silver mining stocks. And he's taken a bath on those two ETFs. He's lost more than 50% in value. And his question was, well, what do I do? Well, the first thing is we shouldn't be having 50% losses in our portfolios. That's because a stop loss will automatically get you out at a certain price. So if your ETF or your stock falls below a certain level and you set that level, you're out. And it's a very disciplined way to protect your losses from suddenly escalating into double-digit losses of 50% magnitude. So that's number one. We got to learn from our mistakes. This is something that we absolutely have to have you stop repeating, James. The other thing, too, is the question comes up, well, I've got these two investments that have taken a bath and are much less than what I bought them at. What do I do? Which one do I sell? Well, here's a rule of thumb that I have always used that I think is very helpful. And it comes to me from my late uncle, Uncle Lewis, who always said to me, Ron, whenever you're in doubt, sell half. And he used that rule of thumb, which I think is a very smart rule of thumb, because whenever you sell 100% of something, what happens the very next day? It goes up. Right? Murphy's Law. So when you sell only half, you'll only be half wrong. Right? You can also switch that around and say, well, I'm half right. But I like that rule of thumb, selling half. So I think it's something that especially some of you that are in a situation similar to James, where you're debating, well, what do I do? I'm like a deer with that headlight stuck in my eyes, right? I don't know what to do. Sell half. So that's a good rule of thumb that you can employ in your portfolio. And we typically use that rule of thumb in situations where losses have escalated and gotten completely out of control. And then, of course, the last thing is lining up your losses with your gains. And this is a good time of year to be doing that as 2013 winds up and comes to an end, is take a look at your portfolio, see where you can realize some gains. Now, in James's situation, those two holdings are in an IRA account. So he can't realize any losses because it's a tax-deferred account. So he's limited in that regard. But those of you that may have losses of significant measure inside a taxable brokerage account, maybe it's a joint account that you own with a husband or a wife, or maybe it's a individual account, and you are sitting on some big losses in a particular stock or ETF, and you've had in that same portfolio gainers, or even if you've had gainers in the other accounts that you hold in another place, try to coordinate those sales so that you can match up your gainers and those portfolio gains that you have, offset them with some of those losses so that you can reduce your tax bill and deploy that money, deploy that cash into an area that has better potential as opposed to sitting on a lemon that is not doing anything for you. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. Please join us. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. What do you think about the U.S. stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average above 16,000? How about the S&P 500 above 1,800? Wow. Like I said earlier, I mean, there's some red flags all over the place. Number one, inflows into stock mutual funds at 13-year highs. We all know that the public's market timing is notoriously bad. So will this time be different? If the public was completely wrong about stocks 13 years ago, what about now? Have they gotten any better? Have they gotten any smarter? What about record margin debt? You look back to previous market crashes and crises, record margin debt, record borrowing, speculative borrowing always had some type of role in an eventual correction or crisis or even crash. So this time around, will it be different? You know, if we look back at history, and we like to do this, not just quote statistics and numbers, but we like to give you perspective. And I pointed this out in my just published December ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. If we go back to 1929, one of the things that triggered the crash wasn't just excessive margin debt, but the Federal Reserve had severely tightened credit that was available to stock investors. In fact, the Federal Reserve, in one of its reports, said, quote, "The unprecedented rise of security prices gave unmistakable evidence of an absorption of the country's credit in speculative security operations to an alarming extent," end of quote. This time around, we've got the Federal Reserve on the brink of curtailing quantitative easing, also known as QE, which in its own right has spurred speculative borrowing, speculative investing. So with the Federal Reserve aping what it did in 1929, pulling back on credit, this time around, how will the stock market react when the reality of QE tapering finally kicks in? 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Please join us. Don't let low rates beat up your income strategy. We'll cover this in the final segment of today's program. We'll also get into some of your emails and a couple of tweets, so stay tuned for that. I want to talk about how interest rates, even though they've been on the rise, it hasn't really been much help to income-oriented investors because millions of retirees and dividend-focused individuals, investors, still aren't generating adequate income from their investments. So what do I mean by that? Well, take a look at the 12-month yield per share on the S&P 500. Today, it's just 1.91%. That's a far cry from the 5.22% dividend peak that the S&P 500 had way back in January of 1978. So how about that for some historical perspective? S&P dividend peaked in 1978 at just over almost 5.25%. Today, it's under 2%. What about Treasury bonds? Same problem for income investors. You got the 10-year Treasury yield near 2.75%, which will give you almost 1% more in yield than the S&P's current dividend yield. But even at that depressed yield, it would take an investor 26 years to double their money. Think about it this way. If you're 40 years old and you put your money in a 10-year treasury yield at 2.75%, you'll have to wait to age 66 to double your money. Can you wait that long? So let's talk about some alternatives to this nonsense. That coming up, we'll talk about some specific strategies that we're using that can help income-starved investors to overcome the extreme depressed interest rate environment that we still find ourselves in. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. We're here. And coming up next, we're going to get into some of your emails, some of your tweets, and also tell you a little bit more about our guest coming up on next week's show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
All right, I told you about how the Federal Reserve has been out gobbling foreigners for U.S. debt. They've been buying up $85 billion a month worth of long-term U.S. treasuries. So what's the current state of treasury holdings? How does the Fed's current holdings in treasuries compare to the rest of the world? Well, the Fed's current holdings in U.S. treasuries now easily surpasses China's $1.29 trillion worth of treasuries, Japan's $1.1 trillion. So those are the two leading foreigners in terms of U.S. treasury debt. The Fed's current holdings in treasuries have more than quadrupled from 4 years ago. Now the treasury holdings of the Fed have reached $2.13 trillion. So you can see how the balance sheet has absolutely exploded into the stratosphere. So that's what's going on with the Fed. In terms of other markets that I would like to get you caught up on, and by the way, long-term U.S. Treasuries have been horrific performers. So the Fed's been losing money. They were making money for quite some time as Treasury prices continued to rise. But now with yields on the rise and bond prices down, well, that's impacted in a negative way the Fed's treasury holdings. We'll have to see if that gets out of control and becomes a problem at some point. It could, especially if long-term U.S. treasuries continue to get crushed and if interest rates continue to march higher. Now, in terms of gold, I baited you with the question in the beginning of the show, will gold hit $1,000 an ounce? And it seems like it's on its way to that level. All precious metals have been in a bear market, and gold has been leading the way. Since late October, precious metals have been absolutely stuck in a vicious sell-off. We've warned you time and time again, and we've also alerted some of our all of our subscribers to the my ETF Profit Strategy newsletter along with the weekly picks. This has been one of the few places it's been safe to be bearish, where it's been safe to short. And so we've got a couple of ETFs that we've talked about on this show and also in my newsletter that capitalize on falling prices, not just of precious metals, but also of mining stocks. I'm going to give you two ticker symbols right now. Ticker symbol DUST, which is the direction Gold Miners Bear 3X shares, DUST, over the past month, it's gained 46%. Over the past, well, since the beginning of the year, check that. Since the beginning of the year, DUST has gained 166% in value. So if you tell me that, well, bears have lost money, bears haven't made any money in 2013 because stocks keep hitting all-time highs, well, you're wrong, because DUST is short stocks. It's just short the right stocks. It's short gold miners, which have been horrific. Gold miners as a group have fallen more than 50% since the beginning of the year. So when is it generally safe, and this is another rule of thumb, when is it generally safe to use double and triple daily leverage? Well, your rule of thumb is if you're going to use double daily and triple daily leverage like DUST uses, well, you want to do that on sharply trending markets, markets that are sharply trending in the direction that you want to be in. So in this case, we've got a sharply falling market in gold miners, and that's been a good trade, DUST. Also, a newer ETF, which does the same thing, but on small cap mining stocks, ticker symbol JDST, that's a newer ETF, also from Direction Shares. That one has gained 76% over the past month. So you'll see those particular ETFs continue to perform well if precious metals continue to head lower. Now, I want to get into some of your emails. Can I get my music, please? Dear Ron, I love the show. I recently signed up for the Profit Strategy newsletter, and I'm glad I did. I'm curious about your income-producing covered calls. I'm 37 and earn enough money that my wife can stay home with our daughter. I am a reasonably aggressive investor, and I've done well managing our portfolio. But I like the idea of generating additional income if it doesn't detract from the greater possible market returns in the process. Are your income-producing strategies geared more towards people who rely on the income, or does it make sense in everyone's portfolio? What are the pros and cons? Thanks for all the great info. Signed, Eric in New Hampshire. And thank you for that email, Eric. Glad to have you as a subscriber at etfguide.com. And the income-producing strategies, you know, the selling of the covered calls on a low-cost all ETF portfolio, we do that every single month. And over the past year, we've generated around a 10.5% yield from based on a $100,000 hypothetical portfolio. So it's a strategy that works. It's not a perfect strategy because of the fact that you put a collar or limit on any upside gains whenever you sell covered calls. And so in this kind of market, what that's done, particularly for some of the ETFs that own U.S. stocks, well, we've gotten called away because stocks keep rising. But we still have made gains in those positions, but obviously we would have made more gains had we just bought and held. But who would have known that stocks would shoot straight to the moon? But nevertheless, in the meantime, we've been generating a nice income. We've had short-term capital gains, and it's a strategy that works for people in both situations, those who rely on income or need an income source, as well as those who have dividends or income strategies as part of their main focus. So it works in either case. And again, like I said, it's not a perfect strategy, but it is one that that has worked well. And I think it's also one that's important to use, especially in extreme interest rate environments like we have right now. And that ties in very well to don't let low rates beat up your income strategy, because you're in a situation as an investor right now where you've got the S&P 500 dividend yield now below 2%. Okay, that's the 12-month per share yield on the S&P 500 now below 2%. And the problem here is that squeezing out adequate income is becoming very difficult. And so when you add a covered call strategy to the mix, you can not just collect your dividends, but also collect monthly income by selling those covered calls and generating additional income on your portfolio, and it works. We'll be doing, by the way, our next monthly income trade for the month of December, actually this week. So if you want to join us for that, just go to etfguide.com and click on Ready to Go Portfolios. Now, coming up on next week's show, John Siciliano will be joining us. He's a managing director and a strategy lead of asset management at PwC. That's PricewaterhouseCoopers. And they have just come out with a very, very intriguing report all about ETFs and the future of ETFs and kind of the next generation of ETFs. and what every investor needs to know about that. So John Siciliano will be joining us on next week's broadcast. Don't miss it. Also, I encourage you to pick up a copy of my December ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. It's out, it's live, and it is packed with money-making strategies and opportunities for all types of investors. And we've got in there our mega investment theme report. We've got ETF performance trends, some of the top yielding ETFs out there. Actually, the top yielding fund has a yield, get this, of 20.34%. So that's contained within the December newsletter, as well as my global equity map, on and on. So go to ETFguide.com and click on the Profit Strategy newsletter, sign up, and use Trade 50. You'll get a $50 discount. If you ever miss our regular radio broadcast, you can pick up our free podcast. Just go to iTunes.com. You can also check us out on YouTube. Just search under the Index Investing Show. Well, that just about does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be here next week, same time, same station. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.